What's up, everyone? This is Nick Bannock, and this is the Learn Paid Media Podcast. This is episode 2, where I'm going to focus on conversion tracking. Now, in episode 1, I talk a lot about how this podcast is going to work, what I'm going to focus on, what my background is. So I encourage you to go listen to that if you have not already. This episode is about conversion tracking and paid media campaigns, and I start with this because I think that it is crucially important to the success of any paid media campaign. We will cover strategies, techniques, structures, and things like that later on, but this is foundational, and it's where I always start. Even when I'm looking at a new account, if a new client comes in and wants me to check out their campaigns, the first thing I do is check on their conversion tracking setup and have a conversation with them on what their KPIs are. That stands for key performance indicators, and also what they track internally, how they're looking at the leads that come in, what their sales team is doing, how they're qualifying those, if those are tracked already. If it's e-commerce, I'm looking at, are they using Google Analytics tracking? Are they using publisher tracking? What's the setup? Is there any issues? So what I like to do is start off looking in the accounts, in the paid media channels to see what is tracking in there. And then I also check their Google Analytics. You should always have Google Analytics on your website, and you should always have tracking in place there as a backup. But in my opinion, it should not be your primary source of truth when it comes to optimizing paid media campaigns. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't use it or that you shouldn't look at it at the end of the day. I'm just saying that when you're optimizing, you want to have publisher tracking in place. And there's a lot of reasons for this. So to start off, I'm going to talk about Google Analytics and why it's great, but some of the shortcomings of it. Google Analytics is great because it gives you an endpoint to look at what you got on the bottom line. So if you have a single day and you generated $30,000 in sales, well, you can look at Google Analytics and see you generated $30,000 in sales. That might be here and there, a missed sale, something like that. Somebody has JavaScript turned off, something misfires, whatever. So don't get too hung up on the details. But for the most part, let's just say you have $30,000 in a day. You see that in Google Analytics. And then you can go in and see, okay, where did that come from? I got 15,000 from organic, I got 6,000 from direct, I got, you know, whatever from Google ads and Facebook ads. And you can kind of see it all broken out in there. And then you can also look at your conversion paths. So you can go into the conversions and then look in the multi-channel funnels, and you can see what the actual path to purchase was. You might see in there that you generated a bunch of sales that started on your Google Shopping campaign, and then they came back on organic, and then organic got the credit for the sale because that's where it ended. And then you also can look in there, and if you're a lead generation client or a business, you can go in there and look at, okay, I got X amount of leads, and then you can maybe check that in your CRM, see what the quality was, and you can kind of cross-reference it. But the amount of lead entries you had for the day in your CRM should roughly match up to what you see in Google Analytics. So it gives you kind of a good endpoint of what happened on the site and what the last known marketing channels were. The important thing here is Google Analytics default is what's called last non-direct click. It's not last click. This is a big confusion in the industry. Everyone will say, oh, Google Analytics, that's all last click. It's not actually last click. It's last non-direct click. And what that actually means is that if somebody were to come to your website from organic search and then convert, the last non-direct click was organic. If they were to come to your website on a paid search keyword non-brand click, that would be the last non-direct click, and that would be what gets the credit. If they were to come to your website by clicking on a Facebook ad, leaving your website, and then typing in url.com, whatever your website is, and then coming through and converting, it will actually still be attributed to that Facebook click because it's the last non-direct click. The direct click is they typed in your URL, or they clicked on an untagged link to your website and Google Analytics didn't, you know, track it as like a different referral source or something. So maybe they bookmarked the URL or they did something like that and they came through that way. But when that happens, Google Analytics will only call it a direct click and attribute the value to it if they don't know of any marketing channel before that. And that can go all the way back up to 6 months, which is the default, depending on your settings. So keep that in mind, that when you're running these analysis in Google Analytics, you're going to see that sometimes you'll get traffic where they came in on last non-direct click, organic, paid, whatever, but you run into these issues where, what if you want to look at the first interaction? What if you want to look at how did they originate? What if you're spending $50,000 per day in paid media campaigns and you want to know if that money is really working for you? And you know that maybe you're driving a lot of interest through it, but you're seeing that you're getting a ton of value on conversions in organic. Well, it's not always the case that they just came through your website organic and that should get all the credit. You might have driven a bunch of interest from paid, and then they might be coming back on organic. And maybe there's some display where they're getting remarketed and then they're coming back on organic. And there's all these other things happening. So you want to be able to evaluate this. And you can in Google Analytics to some extent. You can go into the conversions and then drop down into the multi-channel funnels. And you can even use the attribution section. And you can actually test out different models. Like, what if I was using first click instead of last click or last non-direct click? You can actually compare last non-direct click versus actual last click in there. So you can actually compare models in the attribution section to see what the value would be of the different channels. The problem is there's a lot that happens that Google Analytics can't account for from the different publishers. And this is where publisher tracking comes into play. In my opinion, you have to use publisher tracking to be successful on your paid media campaigns. You can gain success using just Google Analytics, but it's not going to be as effective as using publisher tracking. And the reason for that is that every publisher has a lot of nuances in what they're tracking, and they have a lot more detail than what Google Analytics has. Google Analytics only has what happens on your website. So if you're running a campaign, for example, in Facebook, you might be getting likes, you might be getting comments, you might be getting people that click through to your Facebook page and comment and like your page, and then they're going to come back later and check it out. And they might even share it with some of their friends. They might share the ad, send it to somebody. There's a lot of things that can be happening where they never even actually made it to your website. But there's all these actions that could lead to a valuable action afterward. So they might do all these things and then come to your website organically and convert. Google Analytics is just going to see you had an organic lead or conversion. But Facebook is going to attribute that conversion back to that initial action, that initial engagement and interaction with the ad. They're going to be able to track all of this. They're going to be able to track if someone saw your ad and then converted within 24 hours. They're going to be able to track if somebody liked your ad and then converted later. So they're going to be able to track clicks. They're going to be able to track impressions and then what the action was afterwards. Same goes for Google. You could be running a Google Ads campaign and have somebody click on your ad and they stay cookied in their browser after clicking on that ad. And then later on, if they convert, no matter what happens in between, the credit will go back to that initial ad click. And it will use day of click conversion reporting, which instead of day of conversion, which is a really important delineation. Somebody could click on your ad on a Monday morning, your Google ad, and convert on a Thursday afternoon. Google Analytics will attribute that conversion to Thursday afternoon on whatever the last non-direct source was. Maybe it was organic. But they actually started their journey by clicking on the ad on Monday. So Google Ads will actually attribute that sale that happens on Thursday back to that initial click on Monday. And that will allow you to go back and look at that Monday performance and evaluate it accordingly. Because maybe that click costed you $300 because you're an attorney in a really competitive area and it led to an actual case that's going to be worth $50,000 to your firm. That's a huge win, spending $300 on that click that led to a lead that then converted into a case for you. So you're going to want to know that information. And if you were just using Google Analytics, you might miss that. You might not attribute back the right way. And also, when you start getting into the path of using automated bidding because you have a lot of conversion volume and you might want to go for a target CPA, or you might want to do target ROAS bidding, or if you maximize conversion value on Facebook or some other type of bid option on some other platform, the publisher tracking is going to have the most rich data for the platform you're using, and it's going to make that automation work that much better. Google Analytics will only import into Google Ads. You're not really going to be able to use Google Analytics data to then optimize your Bing Ads campaigns very effectively, and the same goes for Facebook. Facebook especially, because if you're running Facebook ads, there's so much actions that happen on the Facebook platform that your website never has any idea of, and you have to use the Facebook pixel to be able to take full advantage of their automated bidding. So if you're running any sort of display, programmatic display, YouTube, let's just use Google Ads as our example here. If you're running Google Ads display campaigns, you can only really track view-through conversions, which are somebody sees your ad and then converts later. It's called a view-through conversion. They didn't actually click on it, but it might have led to them at least influencing their decision to convert later. Well, if you're running that and you want to track that on your remarketing or your prospecting campaigns for display, you will have to use publisher tracking to be able to see it. And you can change the settings. You can say, you know what, I only want to see it if it was a view through that happened within one day, like Facebook does by default. Facebook uses a one-day view by default, so maybe you want to do that with Google Ads. Well, you want to have publisher tracking so you can see these things, because Google Analytics is not going to track that impression. It just doesn't know. It only knows what happened on your website. Now, there are some betas and things that you might have where in analytics there's like an impression reporting and stuff like that, but not every client or every business out there has that. And still, that's only going to help you with Google Ads. Now, if you're running like a programmatic platform out there, you're going to want that platform's tracking, because you're going to want to be able to go back and see how many view-throughs you have. So just for example, maybe you're an e-commerce site and you use Criteo for retargeting, for dynamic retargeting. You might want to be able, you want to have the Criteo pixel in place because you want to be able to see that someone clicked on your Criteo ad and then convert it. You're also going to want to be able to look in the platform and see if you got any view-through conversions. And the platform will track all of those. When you use the publisher tracking, the platform is able to track that data along with the ad that it served. And so that allows you to see the impression reporting, and it allows you to just get much more in depth with that data. So in general, you want to have publisher tracking in place. If you have a business where the publisher tracking isn't the final source of truth of the campaigns. So for example, I have some clients where they are lead generation focused, but that lead turns into a, you know, qualified lead that then goes to the sales team, and the sales team closes the deals. And sometimes the sales cycle is several months long. So what we end up having to do is over time, we do macro analysis to see, okay, last quarter, how did we end up? We look in Q3 at Q1 performance and look at that whole quarter. How much did we spend? How did the sales team do with those leads? And then we kind of track back to the CRM data to see if we did invest well and if it did work out. We look at what we were doing during that time when we drove those leads and if we need to kind of cut things down. This is a process that happens after the fact. But in real time, you still want to be able to make optimizations that make sense, because you're not going to optimize on 6 months old data on a regular basis. So what you're going to do is you're going to use publisher tracking and you're going to run target CPA bidding in Google, or you're going to run maximize conversions at the lowest cost in Facebook. And you're going to use different settings like this, or if using programmatic, you're going to want to have automation in place to make sure that you're maximizing your view-through potential. And maybe you go into those view-through settings in your programmatic platform and you say, you know what, I'm going to take 15% of the view-through data and count that as a conversion. And that way, it only counts each conversion worth 15% of a real conversion. So each conversion is worth 0.15 conversions. And that way, when you get a click-through, it's counted fully. But when you get a view-through, it's only counted at 0.15. And that way, you are still maximizing your potential of getting those, but you're not overvaluing it so that it's like spending like crazy on view-throughs. So there's all these different things that come out of using the publisher tracking, all these different levers that you can pull. And when you run analysis yourself on your campaigns and on your clients and on your businesses, you can then go in and go, okay, this is the best model for my business. It actually makes sense to use a full 100% view-through credit if it's within 24 hours, because we've done the analysis. We know the value, and we know that most of the time those people are coming back on organic on our homepage, which is most likely a combination of brand terms and really close to brand terms for our business. Maybe you know that stuff. Maybe you run a brand lift study with YouTube, and you find out that with Google, they're running the brand lift study on your YouTube campaigns, and they're finding that you have an organic lift after people see your ad whenever it's within the first day. And so you're optimizing towards that. And so there's all these benefits that you get. And especially with YouTube, I mean, you're optimizing on billable views then. So when you run publisher conversion tracking on YouTube, when someone sees 30 seconds of your video or the whole video, if it's shorter than 30 seconds on an in-stream ad, that becomes a billable view. Because you only get billed on in-stream ads that are 30 seconds or less if they watch the whole video, 30 seconds or the whole video. The cool thing with that is I'm running a YouTube campaign and somebody watches 30 seconds because that's how long my video is. I then pay whatever it is, 3 cents for that view. Well, if that person converts, it actually will track back to that action. It's a converted view. They don't have to click on it for it to convert, but it's not considered a view through conversion unless it was just an impression and they actually skipped the video, so I was never billed, and then they converted. So you can actually compare that data. You wouldn't have any of that without the publisher tracking. So if you were just using Google Analytics, and then you went in and you said, okay, I want to see how my YouTube campaigns are performing, you're only going to be able to see the clicks on your YouTube videos, and that's not going to be super effective for you. So you want to use publisher tracking to make sure that you're evaluating all your channels in a way that makes a lot of sense to you. Now, of course, I know that I'm going to get asked this. I get asked this all the time, and there is a problem with this. If you're running a lot of paid media channels, so let's say you're running Pinterest, Facebook, Google, Bing, and let's just say maybe you're also running a programmatic display channel. Well, that's five channels right there. And you could be getting clicks from multiple campaigns within those channels, and you could be getting clicks from interactions between all of them. You could have someone click on your Facebook ad, your Google ad, and for whatever reason, your Bing ad. I don't know why people would use both search engines, but maybe that happens. Or maybe it's a Facebook ad and a Google remarketing click and then a Bing search. Well, the problem there is that you're going to get one conversion and it's going to be attributed to all three channels. So you're going to end up with three conversions total when you look at your performance on your paid media, but it's really just one person because there's no way to really dedupe that. Now, there are some platforms out there that can do attribution and can track all of your paid media campaigns and the interaction between all of them with like special tagging and whatnot. These channels are super expensive to use, so I'm not going to focus on them too much right now, but they are out there. There are platforms that do this. And anyway, what I like to do though, and what I talked about earlier, when I mentioned the Google Analytics being your final source of truth, well, Google Analytics is only going to track one in that conversion. It doesn't track all three. It tracks one, and then you can look at your funnel. You can look at your conversion path. So you can see it that way. What you can also do is you can look regularly at these and see kind of where things are in the funnel. Maybe you have a lot of people that get introed to your brand through non-brand search, and you have a lot of people from your Facebook ads that get introed to your brand as well. Well, if that's the case, you know that there's value in those channels. You know that you want to optimize on a specific cost per lead or a target ROAS. And so what you do is if your bottom line is you have to be at a $100 cost per lead to be profitable, when you look at, you know, your bottom line on a monthly basis or a weekly basis, or you need to be at a 3x return, well, then maybe what you do is you approach Google and Facebook ads and you give them a lower cost per lead. Maybe each one of those, you target a $50 cost per lead because you know that, you know, that will give you a little bit of a buffer zone. And then if you get two leads, but it's really one, it came out to $100 cost per lead. So you have to kind of know your conversion path. You have to know your business and what typically happens. And you have to look at this on a regular basis. It's not easy. And it's not a one size fits all for every business. I've seen clients where most leads or sales happen within just one channel. Like they literally click on the ad and they convert, or they just come in on organic and convert. And it's a very simple path to purchase. I've seen some where the conversion path is insane. Like I've never seen anything like it, where they'll come in on like 8 ad clicks, 4 organic visits, and then finally convert on an email. And so it just depends on the business. And you have to get to know how your consumers are interacting with it. And you have to analyze it on a regular basis because it will change over time, especially as you invest more in different paid media channels. The best bet is to take a look at all of your conversion paths, take a look at, you know, what channels you're investing in, and then come up with some KPIs that make sense for you so that you can use those and take advantage of automated bidding. Don't get into the point where you have to have everything be completely perfect before you take advantage of optimization. So what I mean by that is, don't go, you know what, I need to have the most perfect attribution model for my Google Ads account before I can figure out how to use automation. So for now, I'm just going to use manual bidding. Why? I mean, you could probably get more efficient results if you do something else. Like, just for example, I had a client recently where we started targeting around a $20 cost per lead. And we just said, you know what, we're going to target around $20 and we're going to use target CPA bidding, and it's going to keep us around that level. We're going to analyze the data and see if that actually ended up being profitable for us after the fact. And then we realized, you know what, we can actually increase our target CPA. So we can actually go more towards $30 CPAs. And then from there, we can start to see what is the best model, because maybe $40 CPA actually worked out better because it drove a lot more MQLs. So we started to change it after we analyzed the data, but we could still use target CPA bidding within Google and get the most efficient results that way. If I was just using manual bidding because I didn't have a perfect model, it would have been all over the place. I would have been having to go in, make changes every day, and I wouldn't have been able to take advantage of making changes in real time based on all the data that Google collects and knows about different users and their likelihood of converting. And the same goes for Facebook. I don't know anybody these days that manages Facebook campaigns with manual bid settings and goes in and adjusts their cost per link click or their manual CPM. I don't know anybody that does that these days. It just seems like a poor approach to the channel. I do know some people that still over-segment their campaigns to the point where they can't use automation. I do know that happens still. But the reality is, you're going to get better results if you could take advantage of having publisher tracking and use the automation that's built within the platforms while having that publisher tracking. So what you can do is you can use the publisher tracking, and then you can use the automation if you have enough conversion data, and then you can go from there. Now, of course, not everybody's going to have the right amount of conversion data to be able to do it. So when that happens, you don't have the right amount of conversion data, and you're stuck in a position where you do have publisher tracking, but you're only getting 5 conversions a week or something like that, you'll have to use manual bidding. It's not the end of the world. It's just something that will happen. But over time, you might be able to find things that still work for you. And just for example, I had a scenario recently where we were getting low sales that were very high value in an e-commerce client. So what we did was we started to optimize on add to cart. We made a conversion action with publisher tracking on add to cart. And we knew that if people added to cart, they were likely to convert. So we just had that become our conversion action. And we would get a lot of add to carts, a lot more than we would get actual purchases within a day. So we set that up, and then we optimized our campaigns on add to cart, and we got much better results overall because we were allowing Facebook to target the users that were likely to add to cart. Now, of course, this isn't perfect, because you might be in an industry where you get a lot of tire kickers who add to cart and they never convert. And if that's the case, you might have to try something else, like adding payment info or adding initiated checkouts. There's all different ways to do it. But the bottom line is, you will get better results by testing these things and analyzing each business individually and using the publisher tracking for what it's intended to do. And this just keeps getting better. The publisher tracking keeps getting more advanced. With Google now, not now, I mean, you've been able to do this for a while, but with Google Ads, you can even change the attribution model to allocate the conversion across multiple search campaigns. You know, if you know you get a lot of people come back on your brand terms, or they come back on a very specific keyword and they always convert there, maybe they originate somewhere else, it can allocate, 50% to the first click and 50% to the second click. Or you can use a data-driven model or a weighted model that's based on time decay. There's all different ways that you can approach this. And I like to use these models within accounts where I have the complex path so that we can have different optimization potential for our non-brand campaigns, for example, because everyone knows this. If they're in like the attorney space, you're going to get a lot of people who do a search for, car accident attorney, for example, or whatever, workers' compensation attorney, something like that. And they're going to do that search, and they might click on every ad that's on the first page of Google or Bing and click on all the organic results. And you don't know if they're going to come back on brand afterwards or come back on retargeting or whatever. But a lot of times they do come back on your brand term. And in that industry, you probably have to bid on your brand term because your competitors are all over you. So you're having to bid on your own brand terms just to not be outbid by your competitors over your organic result. So you might have somebody who came in on workers' compensation attorney, came back on brand. Well, now with using the Google Ads attribution setting, you're allowing it to weight the conversion and allocate 50% of that. So you have a 0.5 conversions on workers' comp and 0.5 on brand or something to that effect. It just depends on what model you're using. But I've found that this can be hugely beneficial. And it's only a matter of time before Google opens this up even more and lets you start allocating it across display and video. They haven't told me that they're doing that, but I have a feeling that that will come out after. And, you know, if Google's doing it, Bing will likely do it in the future. And then Facebook as well. Facebook has a lot of potential in this regard. I know that Facebook has this data. They just don't really release it. They do have a Facebook attribution tool now that's built into the platform. And I think that's one of the first steps that you can use. And this is also another way of you analyzing what your conversion paths are and whatnot. Outside of that, eventually the platforms are going to have ways of allocating your conversion across multiple touch points. And like I said, there's some tools that kind of already do this where you can tag all of your URLs and it cookies them and it allocates it for you. Some of the ones that have existed in the industry for a while are Convertro, Visual IQ, but there's other ones out there, and some of these platforms have changed over time. Google even has one where they bought a platform called Odometry and then they brought it into the Google Attribution 360, and they're very expensive to use. So eventually, the platforms will have their own solutions that allow you to do this. And like I said in the beginning, it's not always going to be perfect, but also you don't want to have to pay hundreds of thousands or even potentially millions of dollars just to use an attribution tool. You want to be able to use the publisher tracking to its full potential, run analysis on your side, see what models work best for you, and then set your KPIs accordingly. Don't let the perfect system or trying to build the perfect system slow you down. Use the publisher tracking on your paid media campaigns and go from there. And with that, I will say that make sure if your e-commerce, you have conversion values populating. Don't just optimize for conversions and just not have value in there. You need to have the revenue amount so you can look at your ROAS, so you can take advantage of optimizing on ROAS. When I say ROAS, I'm talking about return on ad spend, which is just revenue divided by cost. So you can definitely do that. And then also make sure that if you are a lead generation, that you do eventually go beyond just tracking those leads. So you can use integrations with Google Ads and Salesforce, for example, and you can import some of that data. Don't get me wrong. You want to make sure that you build the advanced systems, but you also want to make sure that you have the simplified publisher tracking in place and that you're using it effectively. And that's going to make your life a lot easier, and it's going to make your campaigns perform a lot better than if you were trying to do some sort of offline analysis or Google Analytics analysis with manual bidding or something like that. So just keep in mind, conversion tracking is crucial to your success. And if you are in branding and you're running different types of campaigns, and maybe you're just doing email capture, you're doing stuff like that, or you're trying to get people to engage with some kind of content, set up events, set up some sort of event tag with the publisher and then track that. You know, maybe you're tracking button clicks or some sort of engagement metric and you're using the Facebook pixel and the Google Ads pixel and those things to do it. That's still going to help you. You're still going to be able to optimize for conversions with that and then run branding campaigns where you drive qualified traffic. So there's a lot of potential here. And just make sure that when you're running campaigns, when you're running paid media channels, you start with conversion tracking. You make sure that it's enabled the right way before you turn on your campaigns. And you make sure that it's always firing for you. And then you start working on the best ways to manage your campaigns. I think that's going to do it for this episode. I appreciate everyone listening in. And if you have any questions at all, just go to learnpaidmedia.com and submit a question there. And I'll cover those on the podcast. I'm going to wait till I have a few more questions before I start to do any sort of, you know, longer form question and answers. And, you know, as we go, I'm going to develop some of the format accordingly based on demand. So if you have any ideas or whatnot, you can also submit those on the website and I'm happy to reply to those. and I'll talk to you soon.